I thought about tonight a title for the message, and I kind of come up with something like this. You can give it a title if you want to. I don't always title messages, but you can preach a message tonight from rags to riches in chapter 4. You could preach on when your back is against the wall and there's nothing else you know to do. You could preach on it tonight, striking oil in the living room. Amen. Or an oil well in the house. Or the oil of grace. Amen. We could just give you title after title. So you name it what you want to. And I pray it'll help you. We look at this as a strange little story, isn't it? Amen. It sure is. I thought about this as I was studying. And as I was looking at it, I remember a story that was told of somebody that were building a highway through an area, and they were having to cut the trees out. And at one particular place, it come to a tree that was a little off the road a little bit, but it needed to come down. And it had a big nest of birds in it, or a bird with some little ones, and they was almost ready to fly. And they cut the trees down around it, but the foreman said, "Don't cut that and leave it, and we'll get it when we come back through." About a few weeks later, they come through and cut the tree down. And the birds had done got out, and when they did, he looked at that, and the nest, when the tree hits the ground, the nest scattered and little pieces of paper that the bird had used to put in there. And right on the end of that one piece of paper, it said, "He careth for you." Amen. I thank God. That's pretty good. Amen. And the Lord does. And He cared for this woman tonight as we look in the Word of God. Now I want to notice the characters. There's a certain family here. Two sons that are left. A husband that is dead. So we find that tonight, this certain family. We'll liken that tonight, if you will, to a church family. And we'll use an application of that. You can do it. We may not put a whole lot in that area, but I pray tonight you can look at this family here as a type of the church family. Now, but it's also a type of an individual family here too as well. Then you find tonight another character, the man of God. Amen. We always need the man of God around, whether we want him or not. He's needful. Amen. And then the third one, we find the creditor. We'll say the creditor is a type of Satan. He's always around to cause trouble and heartache and to try to get all he can out of us. Say amen right there. And we'll go on from that tonight. The word vessel and the word vessels out of these first seven verses is mentioned seven times. You'll find them mentioned in verse number 3 two times, and verse number 4 once. Verse 5 is once, and verse number 6 is three times. For a total of seven times, this word vessel or vessels is mentioned. In verse number 3, take particular note that it talks about empty vessels. And then in verse number 6, we find there are full vessels. Now, which one are you tonight? Amen. You said empty. Well, that can be good, that can be bad. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Are you full? Are you a full vessel? That can be good or that can be bad, depending on what you're full of. Amen. And I'm thinking about tonight, as we look at the Word of God, we are seeing these vessels are full of oil. I want to remind you tonight of some things. Now, the problem, I want to say, is not the oil. They had a problem in these verses. We're going to look at those problems. And as we look at the problems that they had in the first two verses, the problem was not with the oil. The problem was with the vessels. Amen. Amen. Now the oil is a type of the Holy Ghost, a type of the Holy Spirit. Is there a problem with the oil? No. Then our church, is there oil? Yes. But do we have any vessels to put the oil in? Amen. That's what we have a problem with, is the problem of the vessels. And we'll look at this. So the problem is not with the oil, it's with the vessels. Many churches tonight have more ministry than they have vessels. Amen. We could do more if we had more to do the work with. Are you with me? Amen. Sometimes our ministry is bigger than, and it is. God's work is always bigger than you and me, and we need vessels in the work of the Lord. Amen. We look at this, so we find that the vessels are in short supply. And what kind of vessels do we need? The man of God said, go down and get some empty vessels. He didn't want full vessels or full of the world and full of the devil and full of ungodliness and full of sin. Amen. That's what it's a type of. But he said, go get some empty vessels, because empty vessels are those that can hold something. And God wants you and me to empty ourselves out. Say amen right there. He wants us to empty ourselves out, that he might be able to fill us with his blessed Holy Spirit tonight. Now the first thing I want to notice in verse number 1 and 2, the serious problem. This woman has a serious problem. And I'll give you what they are tonight. There are, number 1, if you want to jot these down, there's 3 things that she's got a problem with, but there's one thing is in her favor. And we'll say the first one is death. She's got a problem with death. She has lost her husband. She's married her husband, and now she's a widow. And she's having to make ends meet the best she can. I remind you that in Bible days, women did not have, they were not out in the public making money for themselves that they could help along. There was no such thing as Social Security to carry them on when the husband died. It was up to the family to take care of the wife that was left, or to take care of the mother or the woman of the home. And so she had that. That's why they put in the scripture over there that you're not to take in a widow, amen, but under a certain period of an age and so forth, that the church might take care of the widows who are widows indeed. But we find in the Word of God too tonight that it was left up to the family. It wasn't left up to welfare or anybody else. It was left up to the family to take care of the family. We've lost that in our modern day, and we've got away from it, but that's where it was back there in those days. So this woman has a problem. Her husband has died. He is gone. He's no longer the provider of her home. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit as we progress into this scripture. The second thing she had a problem with, she had a problem with debt. Amen. She owed more than she could pay and didn't have no income to pay that. Now some of you older people in this building know about it. You know what it is. It's harder to make ends meet when we get older than it was when we was younger. Amen. Health don't let us anymore, and we're not, if we had a place that we could, I mean, if we have any strength to work, nobody wants to hire old people anymore. Amen. There'll come a time one of these days you won't be able to work because of two reasons, health, and they won't hire you. Amen. That's right. So we look at these things, we find she had a problem with death, she had a problem with debt, and thirdly, she had problems with doubt. She didn't know what to do. She is at wit's end. She didn't know where to turn. And so she turned to the best place she knowed, and she went to the right source. She went to the man of God. Brother, she really sought God. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? She sought God. How did she seek God? Through the man of God. That's the way the order was. And if you'll think about it, that's the way the order is today. Now I realize today that every single one in this building can call upon God at any particular time. You don't have to run me down. You don't have to hunt me. You don't have to find another preacher. You don't have to go to a priest to pray. You can enter boldly to the throne of grace and find help in a time of need. Ain't you glad you can do that? Amen. If a preacher's out of town on vacation, you can do it without him. But I want to tell you, if you try to bypass the man of God, you're in the wrong area when you do that. Amen. He's one of his best, he's your best friend if you'll stop to think about it tonight. Amen. If your preacher can't get in touch with God, you don't need him nohow. Amen. If you don't have enough confidence in your preacher to pray for you tonight, either one of the things wrong. Either something's wrong with your thinking, or something's wrong with the man of God. That's right. Every church needs a preacher that they know that can get a touch with God, can get in touch with God when he calls. Amen. And would like to have him to pray for them. So we find she had a problem with death and debt and doubt. So she didn't know what to do. But she had one thing going for her. She still had a devotion to God. She hadn't turned her back on God. She hadn't walked out on God. She had been the wife of one of the sons of the prophets. And so she was involved in spiritual matters. She had been probably a run through the ringer, no doubt. Every preacher's wife that I've ever met down through the years, if they've been faithful to the husband and to the ministry, the work of God, has been run through the ringer, been talked about, discussed, and chewed up and spit out in the wrong places most of the time. Say amen. And I want to tell you tonight, she had remained faithful. She probably at that place in life said, hey, God, she probably had that right if you think about it. And just think about it. Maybe she thought about it. I don't know if she did or not. But most of us would have. She's probably said, hey, why in the world do I want to think God's going to take care of me? He's the one that's let me get into this mess. I'm here because my husband was a servant of the living God. And if he had been somebody like an ordinary person out there in the world, he may have had some kind of retirement or something he could have left from me. But he gave his life for the ministry. I've thought about that a lot of times down the road. Amen. And I think about that. Amen. A lot of preachers have give up some good jobs to take up the ministry. And I'm not arguing about that, and I'm not grumbling about that, and I'm not begrudging anything about that. I believe that's what the man of God ought to do. I do. But I'll say tonight, brother, he may be in better financial shape if he wasn't in the ministry, but he can't be in better spiritual shape. And at the same time, God has met his needs and will meet his needs. And I want to say tonight, God has met every one of mine down through the years. May not have no big nest egg laid by somewhere, but amen, all I need anyhow is enough to get me out of this old world. Amen, the benefits are out of this world. You have to die to get them, but they're there. That's right. Now, let's look at something. She not only had a problem, but we'll see in verse number 3-5, there is a solution to the problem. Now, sometimes the solutions to our problems are not what we would think they ought to be. Can you see this? She went to the man of God, and she said, hey, I ain't got nothing. He said, what you got in the house? She said, I ain't got nothing. And I'll say to this tonight, and I'll say some more about it in a minute. All she had was a pot of oil. And when you get to where you can't go no further, you use what you've got. When you get to as far as you can go and you can't go no further, you use what you got. And you make do with what you have. And God can multiply what you don't have and think you don't have tonight and make it in the right. So what's happened in verses number 3-5, we find that God gives her the solution through the man of God. Strange. He said, now I want you to go to your neighbors and borrow. Borrow. Amen. Borrow some vessels. Amen. And they bring them down there, and I believe they wanted empty vessels, what it said in verse number 3. Get empty vessels, bring it down there, and they got all they could get. Get all the vessels you can get. Don't cut short. Don't stop. Get everything you can get. Get your hands on. Amen. That's what we've been trying to do with the work here at this church for a long time. Get everybody we can involved. And so I found out some of you ain't going to get involved. You get involved, but if you do, you get involved in the wrong manner. Amen. Get involved in the wrong things. But we'll see they go borrow the vessels, bring them in. And when you get them in there, take that little pot of oil that you've got and start pouring it. Well, there's something else you've got to do before you start doing that. You shut the door. You get in with your sons. And you shut the world outside. Amen. And that means, and it's a type of prayer tonight, that we start seeking the face of God. Amen. That's what it means. Amen. We're empty. We need something. Our vessels need to be filled up. Lord, fill our vessels. How are we going to get them full? We're going to have to get the place that we call upon God and get along. So we find that the solution to the problem was some empty vessels and some oil. And then in verse number 6, we find the source of the solution. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, what happens? We got full vessels and the oil is there. And brother, that oil is what they needed. And then we find tonight that God stopped that oil when they run out of any vessels. God can't do any more than we will allow Him to do with us. Now God can turn the world upside down tonight. He can write the gospel in the sky. He can let the moon flash the glory of God all night long. Amen. He can speak from the clouds if He so chose to do tonight. But God has chosen to use you and me as His vessels to go into the world and get the gospel out. We're vessels. And we need to be empty and then seeking the face of God that we might be filled with Him. Now there's some requirements tonight for suitable vessels. The Bible talks about in the book of Timothy honorable vessels. Vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. And I want to be an honorable vessel, don't you? I've said this many, many times down through the years. God can use large vessels, small vessels. Amen. Square vessels, round vessels, flat vessels. Amen. Bald-headed vessels. Anything. But He cannot use dirty vessels. Amen. When they got these vessels, amen, they had to be empty. And I believe that sometimes you not only have to empty them out, but I believe we have to clean them out. Amen. Nobody in this building wants to go get a cup of coffee if you drink coffee and look down and see that the coffee circles are still in there and the cup ain't been washed. Now some of y'all may be like that. I've met some of them. I thought they ought to throw their coffee cup away 100 years ago. Ever seen so many folks that drink coffee out of the same cup? I mean, Lord have mercy, I thought to myself, I wouldn't let my dog drink out of that. And that's just a cup that they have. And they like it. But I'll tell you, I want my cup clean, don't you? When I drink water, I want water be clean. I want it to be in a clean vessel. When God uses us, He wants us to be clean. And so we have to clean the vessel out. And we have to empty the vessel out so that we can go for the glory of God. Now there's three types of vessels God will use. Number one, God will use saved vessels. That's the kind He wants to use. You're not saved tonight, don't try to enlist in the work of God. You'll do damage to it. Amen. Lost men and women, and I believe that's where we are in America tonight. We've got lost men and women who are trying to do things for God. Brother, you can't do it. It takes saved vessels. It takes saved men and women to get out and do the work of God tonight. Make sure that you're saved before you volunteer. Amen. A matter of fact, if you're not saved, if you are saved, you may not have to volunteer. You may get drafted. And some of y'all been drafted and you're draft dodgers. God doesn't want you in the ministry. He's wanted you in the work. And you renege on God and say, no, I can't do it. And what you're saying under your breath is, I'm not going to do it. Amen. And I want to say tonight, God may twist your arm a little stronger down the road. First of all, you use saved vessels. Number two, He wants sanctified vessels. He wants us to put ourselves into His work and lay ourselves over to Him. Now, God will sanctify us. Amen. A fellow told me one time, asked me, he said, you believe in sanctification? He's trying to associate me with the Pentecostal because they'll say, I'm saved, sanctified, and baptized in the Holy Ghost. That don't scare me. I say that all the time. I'm saved, sanctified, and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, if that bothers you, you got a problem. Amen. If that bothers you, I'd start seeing if I was even saved. I am saved. I am sanctified. And I am tonight baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't follow all the other stuff that they say that got the fruits of that, you know. Fellow said, you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? I said, yes, sir. He said, you speak in tongues? I said, no. He said, you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost then? I said, yes, I am. He that is without the Spirit of Christ is none of His. I am baptized into one body by one Spirit. And speaking in tongues is not the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ is, however, the fruit of being baptized. But after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, shall be what? Witnesses in all Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. So they look at that in a different manner. God wants us to be sanctified. All of y'all sanctified. some to different degrees than others. Amen. There's what we call, and I've taught this and preached it many times down through the years, but there's what we call progressive sanctification. Amen. God has sanctified me more and more as I've come down the road. You with me? God puts me, sets me apart more and more. The more I get involved and the more I want to be used, the more God fills me and the more God uses me, and the more I want to get in and the more He fills me, the more I want to get in, the more of God I get, the more of God I want. Amen. And it, progressively, some of y'all are on the wee stages and the early stages of being sanctified. You hadn't got very far, as the country boy says. You're still on the early end of this thing. You're still like a babe in Christ. You're sanctified to some degree, but you hadn't been fully sanctified to the fullest as God wants you to. And we'll never get there until we get in His very divine presence. But we could get closer to God tonight. Secondly, sanctified. First, saved. Third, God will not tonight use anybody that's not willing to be a servant and who is not fully surrendered. God wants His vessels tonight to be serving and surrendered. Now some of us need to empty out. And again, as I said a while ago, some of us need to clean out so that we can go. There's some things you can see out of chapter 4 here. First of all, I believe you can see God's unlimited resources. God can do exceedingly abundantly above what you can even say, think tonight, or even do. God can meet your needs. Did you know that? There's nothing that God can't do for you. Did you hear me? There's nothing God can do. Nothing's impossible with God. It's impossible with me, and it's impossible with you, but it's not impossible with God. God can do anything. Amen. And then that fella comes along and says, smart aleck. You ever had that? I preached that one time. One fellow went out the door and he said, preacher, God can't lie. And I said, no, and He can't die. Amen. And God can't leave me nor forsake me. Now, when I'm up here saying tonight, there's nothing God can do, I'm talking about the resources of glory and what God can do in my life. Amen. Well, let's go a little further. I believe tonight we see the unlimited resources of God in this business, and I believe we can all see the blessings, amen, that come from adversity. Did you know sometimes when you get to the lowest ebb in your life, in the worst place that you've ever been, that's just when God can step in? And that's usually when you do see God do something, because that's when you do your most serious praying. When everything's going all right and the bills are paid and the health's good and the car's running fine and the house ain't leaking and the dog's not sick and the cats are doing their job and the kids are not fighting and they're all right and they're getting a good education and the hens are laying eggs, I'm going to tell you something. You're on the mountaintop. Nothing's going wrong. Cow's giving milk. It's easy to say, I don't need God. I'm fine. But I'll tell you, when it goes to running rough and adversity comes and death and debt and doubt, as this woman has had, has come to your life and you don't know which way to turn and who to look to and where to go and what to do, then it gets rough on you and you begin to call on God. You begin to ask God to help you and to strengthen you and to encourage you. That's when you need God, and that's when God shows up. Now you know why? What is it? The third word in this verse, one, tells us what gets God's attention. Now there, what's that word? Cried. There cried a certain woman. God loves your tears. You ever wonder why you have so much adversity sometimes, why you have so many problems and trials? God knows that that's when you'll call on Him. Amen. You come out one morning, the old tire's flat on the car, and you're about 15 minutes late already. And you say, oh, God. Some folks do. The rest of them say something else. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, that's when you start crying out, oh, God, I'm late. I need some help. All right. So we find that she was helpless. She was hopeless. She had a great dilemma. Now remember, she was no foreigner. She was no foreigner to God's mighty hand. She is the wife of a preacher. She's a wife of one of the sons of the prophets. And so guess what? She's even told that in verse number 1. She said, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. In other words, she said, hey, we've been serving God for these years, and now we don't have anything, and we've got trouble in the camp. Let's turn over in the book of Isaiah for a moment. Hold your place there. Let's turn in the book of Isaiah. Let's turn to chapter 38. Now, I'll tell you what, I believe that tonight, if you do anything, you shouldn't do it so that you're going to be rewarded and blessed. Somebody said, if you do that, God's going to bless you. Well, then I want to do that if that's what takes the blessing of God. But that's not the way God wants us to operate. God wants us to do what we do because we love Him. But look at Isaiah 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now this is devastating news to the king. Then Hezekiah, verse number 2, turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I don't believe he had been praying like that, like he prayed then. He sent the man of God, and he said to the man of God, tell him. And he went over and he said, Hezekiah, you're going to die and not live. God told me to tell you that. Set your house in order. You're getting out of here. Well, I got to the man of thinking, and got to King Cyrus, and look at verse number 3. And said, remember now, O Lord, this is what Hezekiah is saying, I beseech you, or I beg you, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. Hezekiah's doing something that most of us couldn't remind God of. He said, I've been following you and I've been working for you and I've been doing it with a perfect heart and I've been doing it in truth. I hadn't been no hypocrite about what I've been doing for the years. And have done that which is good in thy sight, Lord. That's what he's saying. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was serious. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, this is what God told him to tell him. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And God did. Now I want to tell you something. You want to be on God's side? You're going to need God down the road down yonder. You better get down to business tonight and be the vessel God wants you to be. And maybe God can add to your days. I'd rather go on the record of what I've done for God than what some of these folks have done for the world. You think about that tonight. Just some good thoughts to think on. Somebody said the devil laughs at our toiling when we're working. He's laughing. We're doing something for God and he's making fun. He's making merchandise of it. He's laughing about it and dancing around tonight and making fun of us. They come on and said another thing, said that he not only laughs at our toiling, but he mocks at our wisdom, the way we think about God. He laughs at us for that and mocks us for it. But I'll tell you, something happens when God's people go to praying. It makes the devil nervous. Brother, that's where my hope is tonight. She realized tonight that her greater resources was in God and that her resources were more and above her imagination. Can you imagine this woman? The boys come in, brought in every vessel, set them down. I don't believe they could get through the house for the vessels. Had a pot here and a bowl over there and a jar there. And all she had is one little pot of oil. And she said, put one of them vessels up here, and one of them boys got a hold of it and poured it, and it was bigger than the pot that she was pouring it out of, and it just kept getting fuller and fuller till it got full, and they kept it off and got another, and the oil just kept a flowing, it kept a flowing, and it kept a coming out, and they get another vessel and another vessel, and they had oil in the house, amen, had oil like you'd never believe. And she said, "Get me another vessel." Said, "There ain't no more. Ain't no more." And the oil start flowing. It stopped right there. With no more oil flowing anymore. You said, all she had is a pot. Now look at that. In verse number 2, the last part said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save or except a pot of oil." All I've got around here, just one little pot of oil. What in the world is a pot of oil? If it's a type of the Holy Ghost of God, that's all we need here at Bible Way Baptist Church. It's a pot of oil. All we need is the Holy Ghost. Amen. You said we need some good intelligence. Amen. Where are we going to find that out here? Amen. My wife had come through the house. She was talking. I don't know. Sometimes she talks from one end of the house to the other. Amen. Like most of you women do. And I said, "Hey, what are you saying?" I thought she was talking. She said, "I'm just talking to myself." I said, "That's the only way you can have an intelligent conversation." And she said, "Yep, I want you to know tonight, we get the place tonight, but I want to say that God can help us. And He can give us things to do that it don't take much. Just one little thing. Remember this, Moses didn't have nothing but a rod. Is that right? Gideon didn't have nothing but some pitchers and some lamps. Amen. And some swords. That's all he had. We'll find in the Word of God that David didn't have but one sling and 5 smooth stones. I read in the New Testament that one boy, he didn't have nothing but 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. Amen. And just see some nut coming through and saying, "Well, he brought them 2 fish in on a cart. His big outfits." No, I don't believe that little boy had any. I believe that reason the Lord wanted to say 2 small fishes to show us that He's a big God, can multiply. Amen. When I think about them fishes, it's got to be them little bitty ones that like I catch. I never caught a big fish in my life. About the biggest fish you ever caught is about like that. And that scared me. Can you just see that? This boy had 2 small fishes and 5 loaves of bread, and God multiplied them, and they took 12 baskets to fill up the fragments. Amen. It took more to tote out the trash than it did, amen, to tote in the food. How about that? God multiplied it. Now God is blessed, and this woman's seen how great a God He is. She believed 2 things about it. She believed the man of God, and second, she obeyed the man of God. Some of us sometimes believe the man of God, but we won't obey the man of God. Both of those things will bring results. If you believe the man of God that's preaching the word, and you apply that to your life and obey what God has said through the man of God, your life will be blessed. There's a lot of truth to that. She brought the problem to the Lord through the man of God. She was serious. She cried. She was desperate. Her human provider had died. Her human protector had died. Her human partner had died. And she had nowhere else to go. And evidently, and I don't know about her 2 sons, I don't even know how old they were. I don't know whether they was old enough to work. But I do know this, they weren't able to keep her up. Or they'd have been, wouldn't have had this problem. Now I want to give you this in closing tonight. 4 verses of scripture I want you to go home and read. Number 1, I want to say God is able, number 1, to provide. He'll provide all your needs according to His riches in glory. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Write that scripture down and read it when you get home tonight. Please write it down and read it before you get home. I mean, before you go to bed. Number two, He's not only able to provide all your needs, but He's able tonight to deliver you. Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 15. God will deliver you out of any trial, any trouble that you've got. You know why we bear such burdens sometimes, wondering why God hasn't done anything? Because we haven't gotten in touch with Him and we're not trusting Him. My faith is weak and I don't trust God like I should. Psalm 50 and verse number 15. He's able to deliver. Number three, His grace is sufficient, but He's able to strengthen us. At my weakest moment, He can strengthen me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Read these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And then I love this. And then Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost that in its nearest hell. And I'm glad God's able. And I can give you some more things He's able to do tonight. That order right there will warp your mind if you read them four scriptures again tonight. God's able. God's able. So you get this out of this fourth chapter, and I'm just scratching the surface. You can come back. Now we can come back again tonight and preach on it in another manner about the church. The church is full of vessels. God's filled them with oil. And we are not doing what we ought to be doing, and God wants to continue to fill, but He's running out of vessels. There's no more room for God. We don't have room like we ought to have in our hearts. Do you think tonight God's doing all He can do through this church? I don't believe tonight that you can say that God is doing all that He possibly can and there's not anything else God could do for this church. I believe you'd have to say tonight there's more that God can do, but He cannot until we get to the place that we allow Him to do it. We get in a place sometimes we think God's just supposed to do everything and we sit back and enjoy it, but God wants us involved. And I miss the mark and I come short. And I'm sorry for that and I tell the Lord that much. And there's more that I could do, there's more that you could do. And if everybody in this building emptied ourselves out and let God fill us and continue to fill us, and we didn't have no room in our heart for anything else but God, and nothing but God, no other place for anything but God. No telling what God will do for this church sitting on the side of the road. No telling. God bless you. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. The man of God now is done performed again. All we see Him doing in this little scripture is giving some information. And He told him. Elijah didn't perform no miracle. It was God. All the man of God done just told him what to do. And that's all the preacher's job is tonight, is to tell you what to do. And it's up to you then to do it. God said He wanted to fill you up and run you over. You're not going to be no blessing to your neighbor. Not going to be a blessing to the country. Not going to be a blessing to the town you live in, or your neighborhood or your family, until you go to overflowing. And you get filled up with God. Let's stand.